Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Sending In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. Happy Thursday. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. Great show on deck for today. We get another college football playoff game later on today between Notre Dame and Georgia. We'll give out our final thoughts on that game. We also got our first semifinal set between Texas and Ohio State. We will preview that. We got one more bowl game today. Also, outside of the Sugar Bowl, we got Duke and Ole Miss. We'll dive into that one. We'll talk plenty of Week 18 in the NFL. I'll give out the PJ Pick 5, my 5 favorite plays. Also, dive into some player props as well. Lucy Burge going to join us later on in the show. Then we wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, comments, best bets that you guys have for us, you can go to twitch.tv/BeckQL, or you can go to YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports. And if you miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, check out the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. All right, let's get this thing rolling. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Cole Thompson joins us, host of SEC Unfiltered. Also, give him a follow on X at Mr. Cole Thompson as well. And Cole, we had one really great game yesterday between ASU and Texas, and then one not so great game with Ohio State dominating Oregon. Let's start there. What were you kind of more impressed with? ASU taking Texas down to the wire, or how Ohio State dominated Oregon?
I think both, but it's really hard to not go with Arizona State only because of this was a team that many people wrote off at the start of the year. I mean, you go back to August, the preseason goals had them as the last ranked team in the Big 12, and they still had the fourth best odds to win the Big 12 heading into the month of November with matchups against BYU and Iowa State. So they still had to close out the year on a high note. They had an underwhelming defensive line in terms of size compared to Texas' offensive line, yet they were able to put a ton of pressure on Quinn Ewers in the third quarter. They were able to get the run game dilated. The fact that they were able to force some turnovers in the fourth to keep the offense on the field. Sam Levitt really came to life in that fourth quarter. He was basically playing off of sheer animosity and the vivance of trying to prove to the world that he is the actual good quarterback people expect. Cam Scadaboo, as good as he has been in the Big 12, many people question what he could do in the SEC. He proved why very well every team in college football should have had him on this roster. The ability to watch as Texas found opportunities to shoot itself in the foot. And for Arizona State to capitalize, I think is second to none. We can get into the targeting call. We can get into how the game ended. When Quinn Ewers needed to step on up, he was the closer that we have all envisioned him to be. He lived up to the actual five-star expectations. Two incredible throws in overtime to be able to get that win. For a team like Ohio State, PJ, this was expected, them to be at this level. Now, don't get me wrong, I think that many thought that Oregon would play a much more complete game against them, but still, the problem is with Ohio State, frustrations have been around Ryan Day, not because of what he hasn't done, but what he hasn't done on a consistent basis. Games like the one against Tennessee and the one against Oregon yesterday are reasons to believe that Ohio State is not only a world-class beater, but they are the standard of college football. And they're two games away from hoisting up a national title in the same year that they lost to a 7-5 Michigan squad. That is the reason why we talk about Ryan Day being on the hot seat. He should have never been in that position, but the Buckeyes, they feel like the team to beat.
They certainly do, and they're going to go up against Texas in Dallas coming up on January 10th. Cole, a lot of people feel like these might be the two best rosters in college football, and it's crazy to kind of see how this line now is Ohio State 6.5-point favorites. I mean, the way that they're playing, you could certainly see them covering this line, but do you feel like that's too high, getting 6.5 with Texas?
No, because I don't have a full trust on the offense just yet. Here's the crazy part, PJ. People are going to look back at this game and say, Texas found a way to self-implode. you realize that this has been Texas all year, and people just don't want to admit it because of the way that Steve Sarkisian has come on into the SEC. They've demanded excellence. They made it to the conference championship in year one. But the defense has been the story of Texas throughout the 2024 campaign. If they cannot get the job done, the offense is going to allow teams to hang around too close for comfort. That was evident in yesterday's game down in Atlanta. The fourth down throw from Cam Scataboo for a 40-yard score, that allowed Arizona State to gain a bit of momentum. The pass interference call against Michael Taft against Cam Scataboo, and then the face mask call, an extra 15 yards. If the defense doesn't give you a four-quarter performance of domination, the offense can't connect. And I want to give a lot of credit to a team like Texas because of Quinn Ewers did deliver. The throw to Matthew Golden, the protection against a cover zero blitz is second to none. The wheel route by Gunnar Helm, one of the most underappreciated players in college football this year, delivered on point. But this is Ohio State we're talking about. It is a $20 million roster that made it evidently clear at the start of the season, we're all in for 2024. We don't need a Caleb Downs. We want a Caleb Downs. We got an RB1 in Travion Henderson. Let's add an RB1 in Quinshon Judkins to the mix. When Ohio State plays to its standard, it is almost impossible to beat. And even if Texas were to deliver an A-plus performance defensively, you have to believe that their offense is going to at least give you an A-minus version. Have you seen an A-minus version down in Austin all season or just on a couple of drives? The answer there is that probably not, which is why that 6.5-point line maybe is right on the money or even underselling Texas a bit.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if we get some sevens with Texas because I kind of think we will, especially as that game starts to get closer and closer. I think more people are going to be on the Buckeyes. Cole, we still got one more college football playoff quarterfinal that gets going in about 3 hours, 4 p.m. Eastern time, Georgia and Notre Dame. This game's a pick 'em. Cole, I've said that this game reminds me a lot of the Rose Bowl last year between Bama and Michigan. It's essentially the same spread with the same total. I think it's going to be close, low scoring, defensive, hard-fought game that probably comes right down to the end. What say you?
Yeah, for starters, thoughts and prayers to everybody out in New Orleans right now who are dealing with the tragedy of New Year's Eve, to all the fans that have been affected on Notre Dame and Georgia. Most of us around the country support you, and we wish you nothing but the best during these tragic times. When it comes to the game itself, this is going to be a defensive battle. I think that that's going to be the main storyline, and it should be. This has been a very under-the-radar defense that has lost multiple pieces for Notre Dame this year. The fact that they've been able to respond with Benjamin Morrison being out with a young cornerback, making play after play, having a Bronco Nagurski Award winner and Xavier Watts in the back end, being able to pick apart young quarterbacks into making mental mistakes, that might bode extremely well in favor of the Fighting Irish, especially in this matchup with Gunnar Stockton. Stockton has been in the system for 3 years. He has a good understanding about what Mike Bobo wants to run, but this is his first career start. This will be the first time where, barring an injury, he will see action for four quarters ever in a game. And while you can believe that the native from Georgia, the pride of West Georgia, can come on in and deliver a performance that's worth mentioning, you have to realize that this is an offense headlined by Jeremiah Love and Riley Leonard that has hit its stride at the right time. Is Riley Leonard the most perfect quarterback to run Mike Denbrock's system? Not at all. But when you look at the way that he plays the game, when you look at the way that he has been able to understand what are his strengths and weaknesses, he uses that to an advantage. I think this is a pick 'em. I think that because of just Georgia's defense and the inability to get that vertical passing downfield from Notre Dame, Georgia's going to win, but it will not shock me to see Notre Dame come out on top. And at this point, I've doubted Notre Dame all year. I don't know if I can doubt them anymore. If they win this one, they are in a sheer position to go to the national championship for the first time since 2012.
Do you think the winner of this game, either one, whether it's the Irish or Georgia, either one beats Penn State?
I do. I just can't trust the consistency of that Andy Kolanicki offense. The play calling in that second quarter against Boise State allowed the Broncos to kind of come back into this. It was very similar to the third quarter and fourth quarter of the Peach Bowl. Just there were so many moments where you felt like, okay, go ahead and put your foot down on the gas. And it never was able to transpire, whether that was the play calling, whether that was just Drew Aller missing some wide receivers open, just knowing that Tyler Warren was the only option available. I look at what this defense can be for Notre Dame. I look at what this defense is for a team like Georgia. As long as the run game and there is an emphasis on someone stepping up as the number one leader in the passing attack, whether it be Bo Collins for the Fighting Irish or Oscar Delp for the Georgia Bulldogs, they're in a really good spot to, I think, be able to capitalize against a Penn State team that really has still does not show us a four-quarter dominant battle this season. They had struggles against Illinois. They had struggles against Minnesota down the stretch. They had struggles at times against Oregon in that first quarter in the Big Ten Championship. So I don't want to go ahead and put the wagon before the horse, but I just feel like that Georgia and Notre Dame are two stronger teams than Penn State at the moment.
Cole, we got about a minute left. We got the Sugar Bowl tonight. We also got the Tax Slayer Bowl out in Jacksonville, Ole Miss and Duke. Lane Kiffin's been doing a lot of talking on Twitter. You think his team backs it up tonight and they cover the 17.5 against Duke?
17's a lot, and I'm going to be completely real. They better cover it for how much yapping we're hearing Lane Kiffin do left and right, talking about missing the college football playoff. But with that being said, PJ, I was one of the very few people defending Ole Miss, saying they belonged in the playoff over a team like Alabama because of the win differentials over South Carolina and Georgia. If we were going to have one 9-3 SEC team in, the Rebels had arguably the best case because they had one of the best scoring offenses, one of the best third down units, and one of the best defenses in the sport this past year. They just didn't show up against Kentucky, and they didn't show up in the fourth quarter against Florida. With that being said, not having Malik Murphy, not having Star Thomas, having several opt-outs on the defensive line for a really underrated Manny Diaz squad in year one out in Duke is probably going to benefit a team like Ole Miss. Jackson Dart's playing in this game. Multiple wide receivers are playing in this game. Walter Nolan's playing in this game. Princeton Ewan Manley Yellen's playing in this game. For the SEC's sake, they need a win. They need Ole Miss to be a 10-victory roster this year. I got Ole Miss winning. I got Ole Miss covering. I don't see a scenario where Jackson Dart leaves the field without one last victory. We're in the hotty-totty blue.
All right, very good. Cole Thompson, make sure you check him out on X at Mr. Cole Thompson. Does great stuff hosting for SEC Unfiltered. Cole, happy New Year, pal. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll catch up again soon. Now to preview the rest of the college football playoff. Talk to you then.
Happy New Year, guys. Take care.
All right, great stuff from Cole there. Let's keep it rolling here. On Send It In, we got a question from our guy, B. Mills. How does PJ like Riley Leonard 150 or more passing yards and 25 or more rushing yards at minus 111, parlaying those two things together? Even though 150 is a low total, B. Mills, on the passing yards, I actually worry about that. I don't think Riley Leonard's going to be too effective in the passing game tonight. Notre Dame all year just really hasn't had that great a receiving core. They don't have the tight end that we're accustomed to Notre Dame having. So I think this game's going to be a heavy run game plan. That's the way you attack Georgia. That's why I like Notre Dame so much in this game. Talked about it all week. Riley Leonard's legs are going to be the X factor. You looked at the teams that have beaten Georgia this year, give them the most trouble. Georgia Tech with Haynes King, Bama with Jalen Milroe, Jackson Dart and Ole Miss. All those teams were able to run the ball successfully on Georgia. So I think Notre Dame really leans into that. Marcus Freeman also, I think, has a pretty conservative game plan early, knowing that Georgia's got a quarterback on the other side making his first career start. So lean on that defense, lean on your run game with Riley Leonard and Jeremiah Love. So even though 150 is a low total, I actually don't know if Riley Leonard's going to get to that. I would just take his rushing yards tonight over 40.5. That's pretty much my handicap for the game. I also like Riley Leonard anytime touchdown as well at plus 145. As for the Cotton Bowl, which is set next week between Texas and Ohio State, I think this is going to be such a fascinating game. As we were watching the games yesterday and we saw Texas advance against Arizona State and survive the upset, and then we saw Ohio State absolutely just beat down Oregon, I knew I would be on Texas in this game, and I was so fascinated to see where the line would end up. The look-ahead line for this game at a lot of books was Ohio State -1.5, Ohio State -2, and now here we are at BetMGM, and the line is 6.5. There was a 4.5, 5-point adjustment on this game this late in the season. We know what these teams are. I mean, we're at the semifinal round of the college football playoff, and we're making 4.5, 5-point adjustments based off of just what we've seen from one game, from each team play. I think that's way too much. This isn't like any major injuries impacting the spread. 4.5 or a 5-point line adjustment should be like if Jordan Love gets hurt, or if Jaden Daniels gets hurt, or if one of those things happen. It shouldn't be because Ohio State looks dominant against Oregon, or because Texas survives as big favorites against Arizona State. On this show all year, we've been talking about Ohio State's the best team. If they play to their capability, they're the best team. And people have seen that for the last 2 weeks against Tennessee and against Oregon. The key for the Buckeyes is, can they continue that? Can they continue this dominant pace? Certainly, they're starting to open up the offense, and they're starting to throw it to their wide receivers, who it's a pretty good idea because Jeremiah Smith's the best receiver in the country. Mika Bukum's really good, too. If there is one team, though, that can contain Ohio State, it is Texas. They have the best pass defense in the country. They have the best corner in college football. They have a great pass rush as well. And it's interesting, we talk about this all the time on the show, the role reversal now for Ohio State. For 2 weeks, people have been underestimating them. Going into that Tennessee game, it was, how are they responding against Michigan? Everybody thinks they suck. Nobody thinks they're any good. They beat down on the Volunteers. Then coming out of that game, everybody was like, yeah, Tennessee was just overrated. Let's see what they do when they go up against Oregon. Well, now I think that everybody's eyes are opened up, and everybody thinks now Ohio State is going to win the national championship. So Ohio State going from being an underdog, essentially, in the minds of people and people counting them out, to now being the prohibited favorite to win the college football playoff. What does that look like? I'm going to be real with you guys on Texas, too. Their offense hasn't really put together a complete game all year. And if they want to cover this spread and hang around and even upset Ohio State, Quinn Ewers probably has to play the game of his life. I honestly think Texas has gotten bored on offense this season. I don't think they've looked at a team this year where they look at the personnel on the other side and think that there's a team that's really challenged them. Look at Texas against Arizona State in that game, right? First, couple minutes of the game, two plays, touchdown, punt return, touchdown, and then it's like we saw a completely different team the rest of the game. I think Ohio State is going to push them for all. I know Ohio State is going to push them for all 60 minutes, and I think that full throttle attitude from Texas to continue to put their foot on the gas, I actually think is going to really help them in this game. I think the fact that they're going to hear for the next week how much they suck and how great Ohio State is, I think is going to help them in this game. And Sark is still the best play caller in college football, and I think he's going to call a masterpiece of a game against Ohio State. So I'm going to bet Texas in this game. I'm in no rush to do it because I think this line is only going to continue to go up. I want to see if we get a 7 or maybe even a 7.5. But again, the fact that the look ahead line in this game was 1.5, 2, and now we're up to 6.5, and it's this late in the season. We know what these teams are. We know the data points. If you didn't know Ohio State was this good, you just haven't been watching. They've been capable of this all season. We're just finally starting to see it. And Texas, I get it. They really haven't beaten anybody great this season, but there's a reason why they're still favored like they are, why they're still power rated like they are, why they still have been among the championship favorites. It's because their defense is loaded and their offense is full of incredible players. It just comes down to Quinn Ewers. And I think Ohio State challenging them the entire game and pushing Texas to be their best, I think will bring out the best in Texas. So it's going to be an incredible game. I'm hoping we get a 7. I'm going to be on the horns against Ohio State. And then also our other college football game that we have tonight, Duke and Ole Miss. I'm on the Duke team total under at 16.5 in that game against Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin's been talking a lot during bowl season about who should be in the college football playoff and who shouldn't. Duke's going to be without some guys, including their starting quarterback. I think Ole Miss's defense is going to eat up Duke. I don't really see Duke scoring much in this game. So if I had to pick a side on the spread, I'd lean Ole Miss, but I really like Duke's team total under as well at 16.5. I think the Blue Devils are going to have a tough time scoring tonight. All right, let's go to the PJ Pick 5 in the NFL. Give out some best bets for week 18. We will start with the Jags, +5 against the Colts. We gave out this pick earlier on this week on the show. It's just a full fade to Indianapolis, a team that had a chance to make the playoffs, lost as big favorites to the New York Giants. Now it just feels like they want the season to be over. They're looking ahead to the offseason. What's the motivation for Indianapolis in this game? Are they getting up for this game? Are they prepping hard this week? Are they watching a lot of film? I don't think so. I like the Jags +5. I like them on the money line as well. Also, give me Kansas City +10.5 against the Broncos. I just think this line is too many points. I think Kansas City is looking forward to the opportunity to playing without some of their stars. We know Mahomes, Kelce, Chris Jones, a bunch of their other starters aren't going to be there for this game. All year, Kansas City has heard what a fraud they are as a 15-1 team. All their close wins, how they're no good. I think they're looking forward to the opportunity to play in without some of their stars. It's still Andy Reid coaching. It's still Steve Spagnuolo as their defensive coordinator. I think they're going to have a great game plan. I think Carson Wentz is going to play pretty well. And all the pressure is on Bo Nix and Denver in this game. If they win, they're in the postseason. I think the Broncos do win, but I don't think it's going to be by 11 or more points. I'll take Kansas City +10.5. Give me Dallas as well, +5 against Washington. I think this is too many points. I know the Commanders are in the playoffs. I know they've won 3 straight games, But think about how they've played here recently over the last 8 weeks, even in their three wins. They needed a failed two-point conversion against the Saints, won that game by one. They needed a dropped pass from Devontae Smith to win that game by five. And then obviously on Sunday Night Football against Atlanta, they won that game in overtime. So even though they've won three straight games, they very easily could have lost all three games. And all three of those wins really weren't by that many points. We're getting five with Dallas at home. They already beat this Washington team. I'll take the Cowboys plus the points. Give me the Packers minus 10 against the Bears. We know in the NFL this year, it's been the year of the favorites, right? And favorites have been covering at a historic pace. And these are the kind of games where you just bet the favorite. The games where it looks too easy, right? Like Green Bay is going to kill the Bears, so you just bet Green Bay. Packers have something to play for. They're trying to get the sixth seed to avoid Philadelphia in the first round of the playoffs. The Bears, obviously, their nightmare season finally comes to an end after this game. Caleb Williams, after a first couple weeks of playing pretty good under Thomas Brown, has not looked all that great the last few weeks. Now he's on the road in Lambeau going up against the Packers team that's coming off the battle loss to Minnesota. I like Green Bay, minus 10. And then finally, give me the Eagles, minus 2 against the Giants. I know the Eagles are resting a bunch of players. I still really don't care. They still have one of the best rosters in the NFL. And I think this line would be closer to like 3.5, 4 if we didn't see the Giants upset the Colts. Because we saw the Giants win a game and score 40 points, and now they're going up against the reserves for Philadelphia, I think this line's a little bit closer than what it should be. I think the Eagles probably should be favored over a field goal. Give me Philadelphia minus 2 against the G-Men. All right, as for some of my favorite props for Week 18 in the NFL, Derrick Henry, we're going under 88.5 rushing yards for the King against Cleveland. Derrick, in his last two games, had 51 carries, 24 against the Steelers, 27 against Houston. The Ravens know they're going to be playing next week in the wild card round. I think they're going to save Derrick in this game. They're 18.5 point favorites. They really shouldn't need to use Derrick Henry all that much. Also, in AFC North Divisional games this season, Derrick Henry has gone under 88.5 three of the five games, and he really should have gone under four of the five games. He was stuck at 42 yards on Cincinnati before he ripped off a 51-yard run in overtime, or else he would have gone under that too. So the Ravens haven't really used Derrick all that much in the division, and I don't think they're going to use him much on Saturday either. I like under 88.5 rushing yards for Derrick Henry. I also like over 67.5 receiving yards for Drake London against the Panthers. In two games with Michael Penix, London has 59 and 103 receiving yards. In his first matchup with Carolina, he had 74 receiving yards. Carolina's got one of the worst defenses, if not the worst defense in the NFL. We all just watched Baker Mayfield shred them to pieces this past week. Michael Penix showed a lot of good things against Washington. I think he's going to do some good things against Carolina as well, and he's going to be looking for his number one target. I like Drake London over 67.5 receiving yards. Also, give me T. Higgins anytime touchdown at plus 110 against the Steelers. Ja'Marr Chase, it looks like, is going to win the triple crown at wide receiver, and Burrow's having a ridiculous year, and Ja'Marr Chase is having a ridiculous year, but it's kind of overshadowing what a great year T. Higgins has had. And T. Higgins has scored a touchdown in six of his last seven games. This price should be minus money on T. Higgins to score a touchdown. But because of how great Chase is and because of all the accolades and how great Burrow has been, T. Higgins isn't really getting that talked about. Plus 110 for him to score a touchdown. He scored a touchdown against the Steelers in their first matchup this year. Give me T. Higgins anytime TD at plus 110. I'll stay in that same game, and I'll go Chase Brown under 70.5 rushing yards against the Steelers as well. Again, AFC North games. Chase Brown's played in five of them. He's gone in under 70 rushing yards in four of those five games. He was right on the number against the Steelers in the first meeting at 70 rushing yards. But keep in mind, Chase Brown got dinged up late in that game against Denver. I don't expect him to be at 100%. And with the season on the line and with the weakness of the Steelers being their secondary, I expect Zach Taylor in Cincinnati to put the ball in the hands of Joe Burrow and let him sling it around. So I think 70.5 is too high for Chase Brown. We'll go under his rushing yards there. And then finally, Jordan Love, over 1.5 passing touchdowns against the Bears at minus 110. Three career games against the Bears, Jordan Love has gone over this in two of them. He's in a little bit of a stretch where he's not throwing that many passing touchdowns in his last four games. He's only thrown one passing touchdown in three of the four, which is why I think you're getting a good price at minus 110 here against Chicago. Bears got a decent run defense. They did a decent job against Josh Jacobs the first time around. But again, the Packers know that the Bears are reeling. They got a chance to beat up on him, and I think that's what LaFleur and company are going to do. So I'll go over 1.5 passing touchdowns for Jordan Love. All right, let's go to Model Making Money. Check in with Lucy Burge joining us here on Send It In. Lucy, so great to see you for the first time in 2025. What does the BetQL model have for us today?
Yes, PJ, happy new year. I missed you. Five-star play. Happy new year. Five-star play for today is in basketball. It is Nets Bucks over 221. The Nets have hit the over in their last two games and in three of their last four games, while the Bucks have hit the over in two of their last three. The Nets have also hit the over in their last three games on the road. So the BetQL model loves the over 221 here as a five-star play tonight for Nets and Bucks.
Love that. All right, Lucy, let's just hit all our bets in 2025. Okay. What if we hit them all? We just go undefeated. Let's start today with the Sugar Bowl and Notre Dame and Georgia. And I'm really hoping that's some Notre Dame blue that you're wearing. Who do you like?
Yes, I am wearing Notre Dame blue today, PJ. Notre Dame by a trillion. They have not only let's absolutely go, because they have not only won their last 11 games, they've also covered their last nine spreads, and Georgia has only covered two of their last six spreads. This spread this morning at BetMGM was one. So I'm just taking money line, Notre Dame money line today, and also to win the national championship.
That was going to be my next question, Lucy, because
a
lot of people like Ohio State right now, Lucy. There's a lot of love for the Buckeyes. Why don't you like the Buckeyes? Nope. Why do you like Notre Dame better?
Yes, so I do have a personal rule where I do not bet on teams that are in Ohio for college, and this works out perfectly because I had Notre Dame before the playoffs even began to win the national championship. So it is all aligning, PJ, for Notre Dame to win the national championship.
I would love that. I know our guy Shawnee Sharp would love that as well. So let's root for the Irish to get that done. Exactly. J Love getting it done for Notre Dame. Lucy, what about the NFL? Final week of the regular season. Sometimes it's tough to handicap these games because you don't know who wants to be there. You don't know what teams are motivated. We don't know who's going to play for some of these teams. When you look at the board, any bets that you like?
Yes, I have two of my favorites, PJ. And the first one is Bills -2 against the Patriots. I am all in favor of the Patriots just throwing this game. They need the first overall draft pick. Nobody cares if they upset the Bills, and it's not that big of an upset anyway. Absolutely lose this game, Patriots, please. So Bills -2. Also, Lions moneyline -155 against the Vikings. This is the game of the regular season. I think the Lions come away with the win and the NFC North and the number one seed. This game will feature the most combined wins for any regular season game in NFL history, and the winner will be the ninth team in NFL history to finish a regular season with 15 or more wins. The Lions will be the team. Lions money line.
Lucy, it might be a new year, but it's still the same old Lucy riding with the Lions to get the job done. Beat the Vikings. I love it. I'm with you. I think they win that game as well. Before I let you go, Lucy, you bring up the Patriots. You hope they lose and get the number one pick. Do you want to see them draft Travis Hunter, somebody else, or do you want them to trade the pick?
So I have heard a lot of people say they wanted them to trade the pick. I think draft Travis Hunter. I think they have a quarterback. They finally have their quarterback. Who the coach will be, I don't know. But I think draft Travis Hunter. Keep that number one pick. Please lose this game.
All right. Let's see if they will. Lucy Ryan with the Bills, hoping the Patriots can secure that number one overall pick. Lucy Burge joining us here on Send It In. Lucy, happy new year. Great to see you. Go Irish. And we'll talk again next week.
Go Irish, PJ. New year, same best friends.
Love it. Absolutely. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. Ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, time for our best bets. Wrapping up the show, PJ's plays. They're very similar to what we had yesterday because we thought Notre Dame and Georgia were playing yesterday, but we'll just give them out again. Riley Leonard, over 40.5 rushing yards. It's still 40.5, and if Notre Dame's going to win this game, it's going to be because Riley Leonard does it with his legs. That is the prop lock of the day, over 40.5 rushing yards. Notre Dame on the money line is my dog of the day as well at -105. And then my best bet is going to be Duke team total under at 16.5 points against Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss defense could be fired up. I think they're going to be ready to go. And I think Duke not going to score many points. We'll go team total under there. Shawnee Sharp, I know you got a big game today. Rooting for your Irish, sir. What's the best bet? I can imagine probably what you're going.
Oh, yeah, Peach. I'll make it short, sweet, and simple here. Irish by a million.
There we go.
Here on the money line. Also, I like Jadarian Price score a touchdown. It's a +425 over at BetMGM. They like to cycle off the running backs.
Oh, okay. That's the backup running back for Notre Dame. Price coming
correct.
In for
yes.
J Love. All right, +425 to get the job done. That's what Shawnee Sharp's going with. I'm on Notre Dame too. Duke team total under 16.5. Just need Ole Miss's defense to show up and be motivated. I don't think Duke will do too much on offense. And then Riley Leonard take over rushing yards and his anytime touchdown price as well. Thanks as always to Cole Thompson and Lucy Burge for joining us here on Send It In. Nick Ashew will be with you guys tomorrow. Enjoy the Sugar Bowl, and we'll see you guys on Monday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.